Let's confess our faith concerning the ways the Lord works in us to cause us to persevere to the end in our faith. Page 914 in the back of the Red Songbooks, Canons of Dort, the fifth head of doctrine on the perseverance of the saints, that all those who truly believe will persevere in their faith and in salvation to the end. They will not be lost. God will see to it. Those whom He has elected and for whom Christ has died and in whom the Holy Spirit dwells cannot be abandoned, even though there are many weaknesses in us. That's the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. And we're at Articles 14 and 15, page 914. The Lord uses means to bring us about perseverance in our lives. Article 14. And just as it has pleased God to begin this work of grace in us by the proclamation of the gospel, so He preserves, continues, and completes His work by the hearing and reading of the gospel, by meditation on it, by its exhortations, threats, and promises, and also by the use of the sacraments. Contrasting reactions to the teaching of perseverance. This teaching about the perseverance of true believers and saints, and about their assurance of it, a teaching which God has very richly revealed in His Word for the glory of His name and for the comfort of the godly, and which He impresses on the hearts of believers, is something which the flesh doesn't understand. Satan hates, the world ridicules, the ignorant and the hypocrites abuse, and the spirits of error attack. The bride of Christ, on the other hand, has always loved this teaching very tenderly and defended it steadfastly as a priceless treasure. And God, against whom no plan can avail and no strength can prevail, will ensure that she will continue to do this. To this God alone, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be honor and glory forever. Amen. Especially Article 14 is our focus this afternoon, along with our text in Philippians 2. If you turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians 2, page 1827. We'll read verses 12 through 16 of Philippians 2. Our text is verses 12 and 13. Page 1827, Philippians 2, verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out or hold on to the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. There ends the reading of God's word. May He bless that to our hearts and lives. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, so far in this fifth teaching of the Canons of Dort, the perseverance of the saints, we've been stressing God's work in the preservation, protection, and perseverance of the saints, God's work, so that we will not be lost along the way from here to glory. No believer will be lost. God's work, Philippians 1, He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. John 3:16, whoever believes will not perish, but have everlasting life. John 10:27-28, Christ's sheep will never perish because He will not let anyone snatch them from His hand. We know that a true believer can slide away from God and can even fall, but God will not let you fall away. He'll bring you to repentance. He'll lift you up again. You will return again. Jesus said that to Peter. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to have you and sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you so that your faith will not fail. But after you've returned, you'll strengthen your brothers. So we've been taking delight in this fifth teaching of Scripture summarized in the canons of Dort, the perseverance of the saints, emphasizing God's work. He will not abandon you. He'll not let you fall away completely. He'll bring you back if you do slide away for a time. He keeps you going when you want to quit. It's His work. But here's the question. Is the trip to salvation in the back of a taxi cab? God is the driver. You sit in the back and you lounge and drink milk and eat cookies until you get to heaven. Is it easy street? Is there then nothing left for us to do as believers? Sometimes that's how people view the doctrine of what they call eternal security. Sit back, relax, enjoy the ride. God will get you there. That's not the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. Let go and let God. Oh, I'm having this trouble. Rather than do anything about it, rather than make any changes in my life and repent, I'll just hand it over to God and let Him take care of it, and I'll just sit in the back of the cab and ride along. And it's not what God's Word says. In this sermon, we want to probe what God calls us to do in the perseverance of the saints. He calls us to keep going in our salvation. He calls us to persevere in our faith and to grow in it, to become more and more mature in faith and holiness, to fight the good fight. Don't give up. Fight the good fight. Persevere. That's part of the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. You, people of God, persevere. Don't stop. Keep going till you reach the finish line. We want to see the call to persevere in the Bible, the work of perseverance and the grace of it. The call to it, the work of it, the grace of it. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do according to His good purpose. Don't just sit on your salvation and do nothing with it. Salvation isn't a possession you stick in your backpack and carry around with you. It's a gift that needs to be opened and unpacked and used and lived out to the glory of God if it's going to be of any benefit to you and do you any good. And those who say they're saved and do nothing with their salvation are not really saved. Work out your salvation. What does that mean? Embrace His finished work done for you on the cross. And don't let go of it. That's what it means to work it out. Live by it. Let it control your life all the way to the end. The finished work of Christ. That His death on the cross for your sin has paid for your sin completely. And His eternal life, or His resurrection, has given you eternal life and guaranteed victory for you. Live by that. Let that control you. Don't ignore His great salvation, but use it. That's what it means to work out your salvation. Paul explains that in the next chapter. If you turn ahead to Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14, he gives himself a description of what it means to work out your salvation. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, or as do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Jesus saved me by His blood. He saved me for glory. And I am pressing forward with all my might and energy to get there, to reach that prize. That's what it is to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Press on toward the goal of your salvation. It's not about letting go and letting God. It's about taking hold and hanging on. Pressing on God to give you the strength to hold on to Jesus. That's what it is to work out your salvation. Pressing unto God. Pressing upon Him to give you the strength to hang on to Jesus Christ and to keep trusting Him and following Him all the way to the journey's end and not giving up. That's how Paul described working out your salvation to Timothy when he said In 1 Timothy 6, as for you, O man of God, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you have made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. Fight against the devil. Fight against your own sinful nature. Fight against the world, which constantly tempts you to forget God and to forget eternal life. Tempts you to give up and go for the easy life of walking the broad road that leads to hell. The road of believing and doing whatever you want, rather than following Christ. If you have no fight in you, you don't really value Christ. You really don't want Him, which means your faith isn't real. There's a clear call not to sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride, but to fight. Only those who fight will win. That's how Paul describes fighting the good fight in 2 Timothy 4. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. That's what it is. Keeping the faith. Staying true to the Word. Holding on to Christ and His finished work for your salvation. And that's the language Jesus used when He was asked, Lord, are there only few who will be saved? And He said, strive to enter through the narrow door, gate. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter, will not be able. Strive. Give this salvation of Christ every nerve, all your spiritual muscle and energy. Make every effort to keep trusting and resting in Jesus Christ crucified and risen for you all the way to the end. Hold on to that eternal life in Christ. When all the world is calling you to let go so you can have an easier life, a better paying job, and get along with those who don't appreciate your faith. So Hebrews describes salvation. Paul describes it as a fight. Hebrews describes it as a race. Since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so easily, and let's run with endurance the race that's marked out for us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Yes, Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. He saved you from beginning to end, but in His strength, says the book of Hebrews, you must throw off everything that hinders you from running. And run with endurance the road that He's placed you on, the road of salvation that He's put you on. And that's the road of the perseverance of the saints. Not easy street, but a fight, a marathon, and a pressing toward glory. Those are the images given in the Bible. Not an easy street, but a fight, a marathon, and a pressing toward glory. Oh, I know it's only because of God we'll get there, but brothers and sisters, He doesn't carry us there while we snore. That's not the way perseverance works. I must stress this. I worry that some of us expect to get to heaven without a fight. You're just going to coast along and make it to heaven. You won't. You do not fight, you will not reign with Christ. It doesn't work that way, brothers and sisters. We must persevere. He doesn't carry us while we snore. It's not an easy ride in the back of the cab. He runs beside us. And He lives inside us the whole way. And He gives us the strength that we need to keep going. Yes, it's His work. We'll get there. He picks us up when we fall, but it's a race we run and nobody else can run it for you. If you don't run, says Paul, you won't receive the prize. And that's why Peter says it takes vigilance and sober-mindedness and alertness to get to heaven. He says, therefore, preparing your minds for action, 1 Peter 1. And being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Sober-mindedness. Paul says in Ephesians 5:18, don't get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. You can't be drunk and filled with the Spirit at the same time. You can't be high on marijuana and persevere at the same time. Paul says the two don't work together. A substance-controlled life is the opposite of a Spirit-controlled life. is the opposite of a persevering life. It works against working out your salvation. Marijuana may be legal according to the law of the land for recreational use, but it will stand in the way of faith, of being energetic, clear-minded in the pursuit of your heavenly goal. So brothers and sisters, throw away couch potato Christianity. Fight the good fight of faith. Run the race. Keep the faith. Lay hold on the eternal life. But we ask secondly, how? How does that work? How do we get the strength to persevere? And Article 14 is helpful in giving us Christian counsel for how to do answer this call to persevere, to fight the good fight. The answer is really be diligent in the use of the means of grace. Use the word, use the sacraments. Really, those are the two instruments that the Lord has given you to give you strength and pluck and courage to fight and to lay hold of the eternal life and keep the faith all the way to the end. He hasn't left you without means and just said, persevere. I'm not going to give you any equipment. He gives us equipment. He gives us tools. The means of grace. The Word of God and the sacraments. So I'm going to read Article 14 again from the Canons of Dort, fifth head of doctrine. And just as it has pleased God to begin this work of grace in us by the Word, by the proclamation of the Gospel, so He preserves this work of salvation. He continues it. He completes it. By the hearing and reading of the gospel, meditation on it, by its exhortations, threats, and promises, and also by the use of the sacraments. Let me give you some scripture testimonies of how important it is to stay close to the word for a life of persevering to the end. This is where you're going to get the energy. Without it, you won't make it. That's why God has given us His word. Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And Paul says in Ephesians, that's the same as Christ dwelling in you richly. Isn't that amazing? Christ lives here. And when this word lives in you richly, Jesus lives in you richly. Now that's strength to persevere, isn't it? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Another passage says many times in the book of Revelation, how do you become an overcomer? How do you gain the victory over persecution and temptation? By holding on to the Word of God and to the testimony of Jesus. It's really that simple. Stay close to the Holy Scriptures. That's how you overcome. The Word of God. Or 1 John 2 verse 14. Listen to this. A word to young men. I write to you, John says, I write to you young men because you're strong. Why are you strong? The Word of God abides in you. And you've overcome the evil one. You're strong because the word of God abides in you. You've overcome the evil one. The word of God. Or 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Peter calls every Christian to crave the pure spiritual milk of the word so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Crave the pure spiritual milk of the word. And there are many other testimonies. How do you persevere? You work with the word. You stay close to the word. You know, really, there's only two options for us, brothers and sisters. You live close to the word or you live close to the world. If this doesn't live in you, the world will fill you. When this lives in you, it chases the world out or your love affair with the world. So God has provided for us, congregation, the ministry of the word. And by this, He keeps you close to Jesus Christ. Keeps you close to your salvation. Keeps the lamp of faith burning brightly in your life. So that light doesn't go out. It's by the ministry of the word you got your salvation. Right? You're born again through the living and enduring word of God, 1 Peter. By the word of God, by the ministry of the word, you received it. It's by the same word that God continues and grows your salvation. Keeps it going and growing. And that's why we gather with the church. To hear the word of Christ proclaimed and explained. It's like the early church. Remember what they did? Acts 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That was their first thing they did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were already saved. They heard the apostle preach and they were saved. And yet they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching so they could stay saved, grow in their salvation and not fall away. It's through the apostles' teaching that Christ ministered in their hearts and minds and held on to them. That's how he reaches into your life and grabs you and holds on to you. Through this, through the ministry of the word. So let's be diligent to hear the word and to prepare our hearts to hear it well, intentionally, reflectively, to come to worship with a plan to know and grow and change, to hear God, to engage with him, to work out our salvation. It's also important that we work with the word all week long, every day. So not just when you go to church, you say, wow, that's a great teaching, and then leave it in the mail slot, figuratively speaking, and go home and forget about it. James says, that's fake religion. If you hear the word, but don't do it, then you're like a person that looks in a mirror, sees what you look like, see where you need some help, and you go away and you forget promptly what you saw. No, let's work with the word all week long, in personal Bible reading and family devotions. Take time for the word to fill you. Be part of a Bible study. I don't like that Bible study very much. Well, you're not helping it if you're not there. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, congregation, not weakly. Encourage others also in the word of God by studying it together. Meditate on God's promises for you. I will be with you, says Jesus. If you confess your sins, God will forgive your sins, all of them. God says, I will make you strong and cause you to stand, another promise. I will allow no weapon formed against you to prosper, another promise in Isaiah. I will build my church, says Jesus, and the gates of hell will not prevail against her. Many precious promises. I love the candles of Dort. Let the warnings and threats also feed your soul, feed your life. Some people think that the threats in the book of Bible, the warnings against falling away, are only meant for unbelievers because believers can't fall away. That's precisely what they're not for. And the book of Hebrews says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. That's not hypothetical. That's real. There lives in us an ability to fall away from the living God. And that warning is meant by God to be meditated upon and used as a means of grace to keep us in our salvation, to keep us persevering to the end. Use the warnings as well for us. They're like signposts on the highway to heaven. Warning, steep cliff. Warning, steep cliff on the other side. And through those warnings, God keeps us on the straight and narrow way. So stay in the word. Christians in our culture are drifting further and further away from the word because they've become too busy for it. And the reason they become too busy for it is because the things they're busy with have become more important than the word of Christ. And that's the thing we forget. I'm too busy for it because something else has taken its place and superseded the word in importance and value, which means something is taking the place of Christ in my life. And then we'll lose our way if we become too busy for the word of God. Something as little as the phone in your hand can become a powerful distraction that leads us away from the word. Persevere in the word and in the sacraments. Use the sacraments the Lord has given us. Use your baptism to cling to and to claim the promises of salvation that God made to you in Christ, the forgiveness of your sins and eternal life. And use the Lord's Supper. Use it diligently. Use it for the purpose God gave it to you in clear, explicit pictures. He tells you Christ died for you and you need to do this in remembrance of him because it's in you to forget him and to be distracted from the centrality of the gospel and to get sidelined to rabbit trail religions, other things. And because we're so forgetful and weak, we need the supper to help us abide in Christ. Oh, God has so kindly blessed us with the means of grace to give us what we need to persevere in faith, the Word and the sacraments. But thirdly and finally, perseverance, congregation, while it is a work you must do and I must do, fight the good fight of faith or you won't make it. Endurance is your job, my job. Fighting the good fight, that's our job. Striving to enter the narrow gate, that's something we must do. Yet, thanks be to God, we don't rest even for a moment in our own strength or faithfulness to do this. It's the power and will of God working in you that keeps you believing and keeps you fighting and keeps you running and keeps you pressing forward to the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Paul says, Philippians 2:13, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do according to his good purpose. Work it out, but don't trust in your own working it out. Work it out because you trust in God to do this work in you. God works in you the doing and the willing to do it, to persevere. All the willpower to finish this tough race, this marathon to glory. All the willpower comes from God, not from yourself. So that at the end of the day, we say, I persevered. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I worked out my salvation. Because God was with me and in me, working it out in me to will it, to want it, and to do it. It all came from Him. All glory goes to Him. Jesus said this way, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. It's the strength from the branch abiding in the vine, Jesus Christ, that gives us what we need to persevere. And that's what gives us so much hope and confidence as Christians. Though we must fight if we would reign, though we must run if we would get the prize, God has promised to give us the will to fight and the fighting itself, the will to run and the running itself, so that every believer is guaranteed a safe arrival. We're pilgrims on a journey, and we know our God will take us to glory even though we don't fight very well and we don't run always very energetically. And we say with Paul, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. 2 Timothy 4:18. I love what we say in Article 15 in the fifth head of doctrine, the bride of Christ. Though people slam the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, the bride of Christ has always loved this teaching very tenderly and defended it steadfastly as a priceless treasure. And God, against whom no plan can avail and no strength can prevail, will ensure that she will continue to do this. So, brothers and sisters, let's fight the good fight of faith. Don't you dare rest in your own fighting power. Fall down before God as a weak sinner in need of His strength. And then Paul says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Let's run the race marked out for us. But don't you dare rest in your own running power. That's putting confidence in self. And he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. And let's take hold of eternal life. But don't you dare rest in your own holding, in your own holding power, your own grip on God. But ask Him. Keep his grip on you so that you can keep your grip on him. Be strong in the Lord, says Paul, and in his mighty power. And there's our confidence. The world is too attractive for us to hold on. Satan is too deceptive for us to hold on. Our hearts are too weak for us to hold on. So we make much of our weakness. And we rest in His almighty power. And that's where we must go as Christians. So our salvation is safe, dear believers of God. Because God has chosen us from all eternity. and he'll not let go of us. Jesus shed his blood for us on the cross, and he'll not lose one of all that the Father has given to him. The Holy Spirit is the seal within us. He'll never give us up to the ownership of sin and Satan. And so in this triune God, our salvation is safe and our perseverance is sure and our destination is secure. Let's run, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So let us run. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father and God, you give us such a high calling to run the race marked out for us, to fight the good fight of faith, to press on toward the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And yet, you give us all that we need and promise to go with us the whole way so that we will reach our destination as believers in Christ. Father, we pray that you will teach us our weakness and your strength, and by your strength make us strong in the calling that you've given to us. Lord, in the coming week, help us to persevere in our faith, to lay hold on the eternal life, and bless us to serve you fully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.